Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Live in the freedom that God loves you unconditionally.
And He loves you unconditionally.
God's love for you is unconditional.
Preaching that God loves you unconditionally is the wrong message.
God has a good will towards everybody, believers and non-believers.
But there is another love reserved only for those who embrace the gospel and put their trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We're off.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Come on. You've got your cell phone in your hand or your back pocket. I know it can't be 5 feet away from you. Why don't you put it to good use? Send a question, comment, conundrum, snark via text to 877-282-2337.
All right, we start with Anonymous, who is wondering, Todd, our teenage son has been pushing back hard against Christianity. He calls it forced upon him. And despite this, we continue to bring him to church and youth group, hoping he'll encounter Christ, but his disdain is growing. Should we continue pursuing these activities because his level of disrespect toward us and others as believers are growing?
Get ready. I am going to render a declarative verdict because, you see, on one hand, you've got individuals who would say, Mom and Dad, as long as they are in your home, it is your responsibility to keep your child under the hearing of God's word. You drag them if necessary. They got a long face. You can deal with that as a separate issue that you encourage them. You cannot be snarky at church. You're underneath our roof. And as long as you are, this is the expectation for your residency. On the other hand, you do have some parents who would say when a child reaches a level of understanding, now that number is different for every child. That's why I'm not a fan of age of accountability versus level of accountability. Some parents would say, look, when my kid gets to be that age, let's just pick a safe number, even though I don't think it's wise to pick numbers. 16. All right, son, daughter, here's the situation. You are responsible to God for all of your actions. And your lack of willingness to come joyfully to church is a sign that you are outside of Christ. That means you are willfully rejecting your Savior. That means should you die, you are going to be damned forever. If you'd like to come to church with Mom and Dad, you're always welcome, but I am not going to force you to sit there with a long face. This is on you, son, daughter. You want to be an adult? Well, welcome to adulthood. Your eternity hangs in the balance. Your mom and I are headed to church. And that would be the other sign. And that is why I have just rendered a declarative decision on the subject. Hope you enjoyed that. I see both sides of it. I really do, which tells me probably a liberty issue. Jimmy, I think you probably bend toward the former. The one who would say, while you're in my house, you're going to church.
Well, until a certain age. So I kind of line up more with your line of thought there.
I didn't tip my hand.
Well, I'm saying that, yeah, I would.
Or did I tip my hand?
Maybe so. So I do make them go to church until they hit that 16, 17 mark.
And then they can stay home if they choose.
Well, and you may disagree and other people may disagree, but my stance on it is just like you just said, you know, you're an adult. You want to be an adult, you be an adult. So do adult things. If you're not going to go to church, then you better have a job.
Well, that is, I've heard people do that. All right, you're not going to go to church. That's fine. By the time we get home, the lawn is mowed and the garage is cleaned. Right. See ya. Yeah. Now, I think that there's some Christian liberty here, and I think that wisdom needs to be applied. I would say this, though. If you're going to let your kids stay home, it can't be without conversation. You've got to make it clear to them. This is not just about going to church with Mom and Dad. This is about your standing with God. And you are expressing disdain for Him and for His bride and for His people and the preaching of His word. So, son, daughter, you want to play with fire? Good luck not getting burned, but you're making big boy, big girl decision. We want you to come to church so that you'll be saved and in a right relationship with God. You want to reject that? That's on you. Just know when you fall back to sleep in your unmade twin bed that you're damned. We're going to church now. I think it's just got to have that conversation. Right. Otherwise, I think then you just look like an exhausted parent who gave in. Glad I could be so helpful. 877-282-2337.
All right, this question comes from Susan. Todd, how do we appropriately share our burdens? Sometimes I don't share because I think that it's too much or because I can't express it without being tempted to sin. I don't want to put too much on someone else. And at the same time, it's incredibly lonely.
Yeah, well, guess what? You've got great comfort from the Bible that says you are to share your burdens. We want to carry each other's burden. And if you bump into a Christian who's kind of, I'm not interested in listening to you talk about that, okay, then find a different believer. They're having a crabby day. You overlook a multitude of sins and find somebody who is, it's okay. Now, having said that, we do want to be careful that we do not embrace the therapeutic model of just, you got to talk it out, talk it out, talk it out, talk it out. I do believe there is some benefit in simply articulating what's going on the inside. That's talk therapy when that's all it is. The therapist who just has you blather and blather and blather and hopefully that you're going to feel better once you get it off of your chest without ever applying truth to it, confronting it, encouraging it perhaps, that's just dead letter psychiatry to me. We want to make sure that if somebody is going to unbear their burden, and if you're going to be unbearing your burden, you got to be willing to listen to some wisdom come back. Don't just, I just had to dump it on somebody. I think that's just falling short. All that to say, yes, you can talk it out. But if you're going to let somebody bear your burden, then you need to let that someone in and actually help carry it for you. That might be a struggle for you. This might be the opposite struggle for you. I think some people, most of us probably, don't like the idea of unbearing our burden and then being corrected. But you've got to accept that as a consequence for unbearing your burden and putting it on somebody else. And on the other hand, you might not like to have somebody get involved in your life to help you. You're just overwhelmed with something. And the person says, I'll tell you what, I'll be by with my pickup truck and we'll take care of that thing. And you go, no, I'm okay. The church, the local church, should be a place where all of those things happen. Yep, we can talk, but we can also receive counsel. We can also receive help. Find the person that will engage on that level. And just without making some sort of a law where there is no law, I think we all need to be careful of this, that we feel like we just have to say something. We just got to tell somebody what I just dealt with here. There's maybe some value to that to a degree, but most often it might be nothing but blather because you're not seeking help. You're not seeking correction. We're just seeking to dump. I'm not sure that's the biblical concept of carrying one another's burdens. 877-282-2337.
Right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I have a new coworker who I think may have some romantic feelings for me. She's married and going through a pretty hard time, and I've been partially tasked with training her. She's texting me outside of work, and I'm not sure what to do because I can't stop the work relationship, but I also don't want to feed into the potential romantic feelings either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're gonna have to nip that in the bud, and there are definitely ways to do that. You could just have a conversation. I would definitely bring in somebody, a third party, manager, otherwise, to say, hey, I just want to make sure that we understand the dynamic here and that this is a work relationship. I never want to be accused of anything. I know you wouldn't want to be accused of anything. So let's make sure that we've got our roles and our lines very neatly drawn and understood. So for instance, texting outside of work, probably not a great idea. Let's keep this to business hours. And if it's a personal phone, you know what? Let's just keep it to business platforms. So rather than using my personal phone, how's about we just do emails? Or you could even do what Justin Peters does. have you ever received an email from Justin? Do you know what I'm talking about, Jimmy?
No.
On the bottom of the email, it says, please note that my wife has access to all of my emails and I permit her desire for her to go through them and read them. So if there's anything here that you've written, you just need to know my wife's going to see it. Look, that's just being wise these days. And I think that you are not deceiving them by saying, look, in the culture that we live in, safety is really important for both of us. That's not lying. Now, should you choose to bring in anything biblical, anything about your Christian faith, you can do that. I would not make any sort of accusation that they're maybe hitting on you. They seem to be having some interest in you. I would stay far, far away from that. And make sure that you bring somebody in for those conversations. Do the wise things, you know, the going out for lunch, that type of. You just gotta put some bumpers around that. Call it the Pence rule, Paul. Call it the Billy Graham rule, whatever you want. But a Christian man, even in a secular environment, he must find a way to keep himself and his family safe and never give the wrong impression or hold fire too closely to his chest. This is Wretched Radio. Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in it. It's a little complex out there with the internet and ordering pills. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. They provide free ultrasounds despite the accusations of all pro-life clinics. They are holistic. They do care about the mommy too. And they care for the family and they provide training. And it is literally a way that if you have the means, you can be saving a life. Amazing ministry. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land. And they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. Wretched.org/pastor.
Important dates in Christian history. 325 AD. The Council of Nicaea was called to address debates perplexing the church, primarily concerning the nature of Jesus. the Nicene Creed was drafted and is still one of the standards of orthodoxy among Christians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's just take this outside of the workplace, shall we? This is Wretched Radio. It is wise to have rules at your place of employment regarding individual co-workers of the opposite gender. You don't have any rules, you better start making some. Personally, I think texting on a private phone, bad idea. Use the communication devices that have been provided by the employer, aka the internet. Don't go into a meeting where the door is closed and nobody can see what's going on between you and somebody the opposite gender. Just don't do it. Going out to lunches, oof, that is, I think that there could be some dynamics where I think that that could be safe, but mostly it's just unwise that people, their affect, their hearts, they can be knit together ever so subtly, and then all of a sudden you didn't even realize you were giving off that impression, and now you're being accused of. That can go on in the workplace. We are living in an environment that actually fosters that sort of confusion. Do your best to eliminate it out of the gate. But I think that should happen at home, too. Jimmy, do you guys have any friends?
Yeah.
Couples.
Yes.
Okay. So let's just say you, Jimmy, who is currently identifying as a male. Am I correct about that?
Today.
Mm-hmm. You want to communicate to the individual who's identifying as a female in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Would you send a text or call that woman?
No. Well, if I did, it would be in a group text with...
Okay, fair enough. But like just one-on-one?
No, absolutely not.
How would you get the information to her?
But like I said, it would either be through a group text or I would text her husband directly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Or you'd ask your wife, hey, would you send this to...
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, that too.
Oh, that's so puritanic. You must be sexist or something. Phobic, like ditto in our house. That's just the way that it works. And nobody's ever offended. Nobody's ever offended. We all get, in fact, not only is nobody offended by that, the couples that we know that are in the know on this type of thing, I have to tell you, it's almost like this is, it's good. It feels good. Yeah, I just said feels. It feels good to be trying to be godly and above board and above reproach. And we all seem to get it. And nobody's ever offended. Make sure that you are defining lines of communication at home with people of the opposite gender. Hey, I know you think, well, that could never happen to me. And that has only been uttered like a million times right before the individual goes to divorce court. So please consider the dynamics between opposite gender relationships, not just at work, but also in the home. Jimmy, would you ever jump into a car with the wife of the man?
You've
got to go get the marshmallows for the s'mores.
Well, I can go by myself.
Yeah. And nobody gets offended, do they?
Nope.
Not amongst Christians anyway. Mm. So please just think it through. It's maybe going to look a little bit different for everybody, but to have no policies in place, that just ain't wise. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Kimberly. Todd, my pastor has gotten into the habit of using what I would call or what I would consider to be an overabundance of quips, quotes, illustrations, personal stories, and observations that he's pulled from commentaries.
That's a lot of things.
Some days he might utilize as few as 5 to 7. But it's far more common for his sermons to contain as many as 15 or even 17. When does this kind of thing become too much?
When it hits 15 to 17. I think that's pretty much the biblical rule right there. Yeah, they can be overused. Although I think it might be wise to dig a little bit deeper. Why might a man want to load in that many stories? Oh. I think we can come up with a list of different reasons. So I'm not talking about this person's pastor, but it could be that he just doesn't like preaching the word as much. Maybe doesn't know how to preach it as well. Maybe feels more comfortable with that sort of communication, that he thinks that he does it better. It doesn't require as much thinking. There could be something going on. And I might be inclined to talk to him and say, hey, pastor, I've noticed a trend in your preaching lately. Am I right in my observation? Huh. Why have you decided to add so many of those? It's questioning. It's not interrogating. It's asking to draw out information. And you might be surprised, and you might actually help the pastor, because that is an imbalance. You got 15 stories going on. That's just an imbalance. Having said that, I do think we need to remember when Jesus preached, when Jesus taught, it was colorful. He used parables. He did use illustrations. He used them a lot, in fact. So they are not off the table, but the pastor is supposed to be expositing the Word of God, and we sprinkle those to illuminate those truths. But when they displace the word-for-word, line-by-line preaching, well, then there's just a balance issue. So let's be careful. I don't think we should be the no anecdote people, but I definitely don't think we should be the it's just filled with anecdotes people. It could be a sign that that's a pastor who doesn't have as much confidence in the preaching of the word as they should. Jimmy, how many anecdotes do you spray? I will say this about anecdotes. Do you ever use anecdotes in your preaching?
I just recently did. And I actually plagiarized it from Josh Williamson.
Oh, is that right?
I stole his line when I preached my my father-in-law's funeral. I stole his line on the death stalking.
All right. That's a great, isn't that a great illustration?
Yes, it really is.
We've all got a stalker. That's a great line.
Yep.
Okay, so using those, I think, can be appropriate. And I think that those can be really, really powerful. But I also think that they can become a crutch for somebody, because they're just not feeling as confident as they should. So I think yeah, we use them. Just how many we use? Here's a good rule for you, sir. And I trust you already have to live under this rule. What does your wife think? She'll tell you. I will say this, Jimmy. I don't use a lot of anecdotes, just for whatever reason. I don't, and quite honestly, that's probably an error based on how Jesus regularly used parables. He employed things from nature. Just, you know, think about the log, the speck in the log. That's just colorful stuff. And I sometimes probably in a little, it's not my favorite stuff to use. But when I do, tell me if you've noticed this, Jimmy. I just notice people respond differently. Honestly, I think your brain, it goes from didactic gear to, oh, it's a story. Okay, back to it just gives it like a little, all right, everybody stop and take a few deep breaths. Yeah. That's what it does. And I actually can tell that people are hearing that differently than just the straight preaching of the word. Do you experience that too?
Yeah, I think so. All right. I think so. And if you're teaching deeply or something deeply, it just helps them be able to realize what you're saying.
Yep. Yeah. Because you can go in the opposite ditch too, which is probably the one that I tend to be in more. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text that comes in from Anonymous. Todd, the idea of sinning without realizing it terrifies me. How can we repent for sins we're unaware of?
You just repent for sins you're unaware of. Known and unknown. It's okay. And you know what? It's great that you worry about committing sins that you don't know. That's a good thing. Make sure that you don't become too scrupulous about that. But that's a good thing. It is not wrong to say, Lord, I am so certain that, y'all, we just don't know how much we sin every day. I'm telling you, we have no idea. And I know if you've been a saint for longer, you're appreciating more and more that you sin more and more in just ways that you never even considered a possibility. Even just the way that you communicate. Did that sound loving? Oh, that didn't sound loving. That's sinful. I'm supposed to love my enemy. I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. Yeah, I would have never thought any of that stuff before I got saved. Are you kidding? I just was having a love fest with me. And now I realize, I'm sinning in that regard. And that regard. Oh, and that regard too. We are falling short all the time. So frankly, I think we do well to confess sins that are known and unknown. Just don't become obsessed by it and don't let it paralyze you. I think we did just put up a video on this. We put up two videos on this subject. And I think, was it last week or this week? We talked about this subject, I think, for an hour. Yeah. At least, something like that. It was just people that are so obsessed with how they are doing in their walk that it becomes actually terrifying and paralyzing and joyless. So find that balance. And if you don't know how to do that, here it comes again. Get some help in the context of your local church. Talk to people about these things. This, you're sitting around the table. It's the potluck after church. And yeah, you can talk about how the Denver Broncos played this week if you want to. Or something like, hey, do any of you ever struggle with being like really concerned that you might be committing sins that you're not aware of? You just might be shocked at what comes out of people. And you just might be edified that I dealt with that all the time. Let me share with you how I worked through that. Those are the types of conversations that are so beneficial that can only be had in the context of the local church. This is Wretched Radio.